Sermons of the Guardian of Devotion, Volume 3, Part 2, Chapter 9, The Foundation of Fortune. Devotee, what advice do you have for a devotee who is struggling along in his spiritual life with no taste for Krishna consciousness? Srila Guru Maharaj, the first question is, struggling for what? Struggling means struggling for something. The struggle presupposes something, its aim and object, its purpose. So what is the aim of that struggle?
The German philosopher Hegel has given his philosophy called ideal realism. He says that the ideal is not unreal or abstract imagination, but is real and all-important. Whereas the material body is nothing. Rather, it is only a servant to obey the dictation of the ideal. First there is the idea, then the body follows after it. So the ideal is real. This philosophy was put forward by Hegel. So, struggle. But struggle for what? A struggle may be of two types. First is the case where there is no taste for mundane enjoyment or renunciation, but there is the desire for something unknown, but at least above these two aims of life. If the person feels, I can't tolerate the world of enjoyment, but also I dislike renunciation, then it is presupposed that he has some previously acquired sukriti, devotional credit, in the background. From his subconscious region will come the desire, the struggle for the company of a sadhu, a good agent, a good master who can help him. He will feel, I am in a vacant position. I want some shelter. Who is there who can give me shelter? Who can save me? He may feel this sort of uneasiness, both dissatisfaction with the present and also no sight of any positive engagement in the future. Yet he is unconsciously wanting something. To have this hankering for something positive presupposes some sukriti. This is one type of struggle. Another is where there is no positive aim, but only the aim to get out of the undesirable negative side. This desire for renunciation, to enter samadhi and be reduced to zero, to be finished, is like committing suicide. Just as when a person who cannot tolerate an unfavorable situation feels, I cannot maintain my life anymore, and so commits physical suicide. Similarly, renunciation is spiritual suicide. He feels, I have no taste for this mundane world where there is always struggling amongst so many transient things. I have no prospect here. Feeling in this way, he desires to enter into samadhi. This is like putting a living man into a tomb and then sealing it up. But if one is neither satisfied here in the temporary mundane world, nor wants to commit suicide, and so effaces existence, then if he is even subconsciously hankering for some bright life, it means that sukriti is underground, within the foundation of his subconsciousness. After that, some sadhu may come to visit him and give him some good news and instructions. Do this, do that. He will have some tendency to follow that advice, and from that stage, gradually his positive life begins. There is an example in one godbrother. When he was a boy of perhaps 18 or so, he was dissatisfied with his existing life within his family household. So he went to Jagannath Puri. Within his mind and from the bottom of his heart, he wanted to find the association of a sadhu and join with him. At that time, our Guru Maharaj was in Puri, and one of his followers, who was a very learned and clever man, met him and asked, "You are a very simple boy. Why have you come here?" "I have come in search of a sadhu." "Oh, then come with me." He took him to the camp of our Srila Prabhupada, and he joined. The acquisition from his former life was such that when he went to search for the positive spiritual path, he easily found it. And so he joined, and joined forever. He joined at the age of 18 years and received sannyas at 28. But before accepting sannyas, someone had discouraged him, saying, "You are so young and it is not sure how long you will live, so to take so much risk is not very wise." He was also hesitating and said, "Prabhupada has proposed this, but I am hesitating and some of my friends are also misleading me." I put it to Srila Prabhupada that he was hesitating. Prabhupada's response to him was, "You are frightened? Fear is in this world, but you are going to take shelter in the Abhayapad, the fearless holy feet. Where is the fear? Don't have any apprehension. All fear is confined here in this plane, but you are going to take shelter above this area of fear. You want to enter into the fearless area. You are going to connect with the fearless world. Rather, this world is the fearful place." This came from his mouth. At last he accepted, and his sannyas was given by Prabhupada in Puri. Every day in the morning, for about a month, he used to sing Srila Prabhupada's favourite bhajan, Sri Rupa Manjari Pad. Practically, Prabhupada took him from Gaya to Puri only to hear it sung by his sweet voice. He sang, "Radha Padankita Dham Vrindavan Jaranam Tahajena Ashraya Kurila." Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "What is Vrindavan? It is where there are the footprints of Sri Radhika. The criterion of Vrindavan is this, that it has on its head the footprints of Srimati Radharani." This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's finding. So if you want to see what is Vrindavan, and who is Radharani, and who is Krishna, then we must take some note, some clue, and some impression from this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Radharani is all in all. Radha Padankita Dham Vrindavan Jaranam Tahajena Ashraya Kurila. Where does the name Vrindavan belong? Upon whose head the footprints of Radharani are born? That is Vrindavan. It is all sweet. And there everything is sweet because the paraphernalia has all emanated from her. Just as the entire screenplay for a film evolves from the brain of the director, who then himself may come to act his own part within it. Similarly, the entire paraphernalia of Vrindavan has come from Sri Radhika. And from Sri Gauranga, we receive the combined gift of the grace of all these things. His gift is full of so much transcendental sweetness and is eternal in its play. There is a bird called a chatak, which always faces towards the sky, praying for water. His nature is such that he can only swallow from above and cannot collect from the ground. We should be converted into that type of bird in our hankering temperament for a divine drop of the divine sweetness, of the divine nectar which Mahaprabhu is distributing. Nectar, not honey, is the sweetest liquid of which we can ever conceive. Honey is mundane, but nectar is something from above the mundane world. Honey is found here in this lower plane, but nectar is only of our imagination. We have no experience of nectar in the mundane world. Its character is transcendental. It is called amritam, or God's food. There is nectar for the devotees, the godly, and poison for the demons. Mahadev, who gave indulgence to the demons, had to take poison generated from churning the ocean of milk. This appears to be a peculiar thing, but he took that poison on the order of Vishnu. Therefore, through the connection of being engaged in Vishnu's service, he did not die. Rather, that poison became ornamental to him by making his throat blue. So sometimes Mahadev puts a petition to Narayan, "You have given me this undesirable service only to deal with the culprits. What to do? It is your will that I should be given charge of dealing with the demons, so sometimes I have to become friendly with them. But your will is supreme." This is the position of Mahadev, who has the touch of the world above, but who is the master of the whole of the misconceived area. Devotee, what is the most direct and effective means to attain a taste of Krishna consciousness?
Srila Guru Maharaj, Satang prasangam mamma beja sambido bhavanti ritkana rasayana katha tad joshanad ashapavarga vatmani shadharatir bhaktir anukramishyati.
Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25. One will rapidly progress on the path of liberation and naturally will develop firm faith, attraction and devotion when he cultivates the activity of engaging in discussions about my glorious pastimes in the association of pure devotees. Such activities are very nourishing to the ear and heart. And Krishna bhakti janma mool hai sadhu sangha, Krishna preme janme Teno Punar Mukha Anga. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 22:83.
By associating with the sadhus and gaining their mercy, one can get Krishna Bhakti right up to the stage of Krishna Prem. Furthermore, the practitioner's very life depends on the association of the sadhus. Without sadhu sangha, it is not possible to receive the real seeds of bhakti.
Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamiti krijatang didi kato pilabhite tatya lolam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritar nalabhite.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Majalila 8:70. Pure devotional service to Krishna cannot be obtained by performing pious activities even for millions of births. It can be purchased only by paying one price, intense eagerness. Wherever it is available, one must purchase it immediately. And sadhu shastra kripai jodi krishnan mukha hai sai jivanishtare maya tahare chadoi.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 20:120.
If by the blessings of a pure devotee and the scripture a jiva soul becomes devoted to Krishna, he naturally becomes liberated and Maya withdraws.
Do you have your answer?
Devotee, yes. The most effective means of attaining Krishna consciousness is to associate with the exalted devotees of Lord Krishna, sadhu sangha.
Srila Guru Maharaj, what does it mean to keep company and to have association with the sadhus? What have you understood to be sangha?
Devotee,
Pari prashnena sevaya, by relevant inquiry from a real guru and by serving him.
Srila Guru Maharaj,
yes, but that is not up to the mark. Sadhu sangha means it must be of this nature. Tadati pati grinati guyam akhyati prichati punkte bhojayate chaiva sadvidham priti lakshanam.
Sri Upadeshamrit 4.
This is sangha, and in this way we can get the benefit of the association of a sadhu. Firstly, to give something to sadhu for his pleasure, and to take something from him as his prasadam. Tadati pati grinati. Then guyam akyati prichati, whatever is concealed within our own heart, we are to divulge the whole of that to him, and we are to receive his instruction.
Bhunkte bo jayate chaiva,
we are to give the raw materials to him for his taking of prasadam, and then we are to receive his remnants. Sadhu sangha means this.
Devotee,
what is the process for one to test whether or not a sadhu or a guru is genuine? Isn't it that one should first of all try to be sincere himself? Then he will get a sincere guru and sadhu sangha.
Srila Guru Maharaj,
but from where will that sincerity come?
Bhaktistu bhagavat bhakta sangena parijayate sat sanga prapite pumbi sukritar purva sanchitai.
From Brihadnaradiya Purana. Actually, we can recognize a sadhu by Sukriti. Apparently, we can know him from the Shastra, the scriptures, because the Shastra helps us to know who is a sadhu, and the sadhu gives us the interpretation of the Shastra. So, sadhu and Shastra are interdependent, but the sadhu holds the more important position, and the Shastra has the secondary position. The living Shastra is the sadhu, but to know who is guru, who is sadhu, we are to consult the descriptions given about them in the scriptures. The symptoms of the sadhu, both of the guru as well as the disciple, have been written in the Bhagavatam, in the Gita and in the Upanishads. In the Bhagavatam we find Tasmad gurum prapajita jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde pare chanishnatam praman upashamashrayam. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21. A person in search of the ultimate good should surrender to the Guru who knows well the Vedic scriptures, Shabda Brahman, and the Supreme Absolute Lord, Parabrahman, and for whom the mundane world holds no charm whatsoever. And the Gita says, Tad vidhi pranipatina pari prashnena sevaya upatekshantite jnanam jnananas tattva darshana. 4.34. You will be able to attain all this transcendental knowledge by satisfying the enlightened spiritual master with prostrate obeisances, relevant inquiry and sincere service. Great souls who are most expert in scriptural knowledge and endowed with direct realization of the Supreme Absolute Truth will teach you that divine knowledge. So in the Upanishads, in Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly mentioned what should be the symptom of a guru and also what should be that of a disciple. If such a qualified disciple comes to a qualified guru, then the real transaction begins. Otherwise there may be so many bogus transactions. Such black marketing is going on in this world in the name of religion. But from the association of the real devotee comes devotion. Bhaktistu Bhagavad Bhakta Sangena Puri Jayate and Satsanga Prapite Pumbi Sukritar Purvashanchitai. One can come to a proper guide, a sadhu, as a result of his previous activity. Sukriti is of two kinds, Gyata and Ogyat. Ogyat Sukriti is in the beginning when, unknown to him, he is utilized in the service of the Lord through the sadhu. Suppose a man has built a dharmashala. So many persons of different types come to stay there, but because they take advantage of the energy of the builder, the results of their actions will go to him. A dacoit may come and stay, a pilgrim may also come, and a sadhu also. If a dacoit will stay, then because he utilizes the energy of the owner of the dharmashala, the owner will have to take some bad reaction, pap, and will suffer for that. But if an honest man will stay there, then the owner will get some punya, pious credit. In this way, pap and punya will come to him. But after duly suffering or enjoying those fruits, they will be finished. However, if a real sadhu, a devotee, will stay there and utilize the owner's energy, then that owner will acquire something permanent. Nihabikramanashoshti Pratyavayo nabidite Shwalpam apyasya dharmasya Trayate mahato bhayat. Srimad Bhagavad Gita 2.40. In this bhakti yoga there is no loss of initial endeavor and there is no diminution of results. Even the slightest performance of this bhakti yoga saves one from the great fear of birth and death in this material world. Some permanent acquisition is deposited in his account, and everything else, both the happiness resulting from accommodating a good, honest man in the worldly sense, as well as the suffering resulting from his accommodating a dacoit, will be finished. This sort of acquisition is permanent, and when it accumulates to a sufficient degree, it will attract the man to do some sort of vague service to the sadhus, though not very consciously. that is also accumulated, and when it reaches a certain stage, the search for the truth will awaken within him. He will think, for what are those sadhus living? Then he will approach them, and if he goes in the proper mood, as described in the scriptures, the transaction will begin. The association or connection with a real sadhu occurs by some underground activity known as sukriti. Sukriti is of two types, agyat and gyat, unconsciously acquired and consciously acquired. Satsanga prapite pumbi sukritai purva sanchitai. Of this sukriti stage, Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagavan jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhima 19, 151. Wandering throughout the material universe, the very fortunate living entity who receives the grace of Guru and Krishna receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Sukriti is described by the word Bhagyavan, good fortune. There are so many different types of sadhus. Among the Tyagis, there are so many different classes, the naked Nanga Babas and others. And among the theistic group also, there are so many different sections, like the Ramanujas, the Ramanandis, the Nimbarkas, the Ballabhis, and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas are the followers of Mahaprabhu. So even in the theistic section, there is a graded classification. But it is through our sukriti that we shall be guided from the subconscious area to have connection with the sadhu of a particular section.